Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. This Friday's reflection is inspired by a few words from William Shakespeare in Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1. To thine own self be true. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Okay, so I have to tell you something. I actually started working on this episode and I started recording this episode 2 days ago and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because I was overwhelmed with this feeling of self-doubt and looming possible failure and the fact that maybe I bought into an idea and I'm trying to sell an idea about something I can't accomplish because I don't have what it takes. All of those self-doubts, all of that fear, possible embarrassment, guilt, all of those things. So I stopped recording and I worked on some other things instead, and I still worked late into the night and I pushed through. Definitely some things that helped were some conversations that I was having with personal friends, people who had been part of my previous businesses, people who knew me personally, people who believed in what I was doing. My husband, of course, my daughter, her boyfriend, my friend John, my friend Cheryl, my friend Mary, my sister Nina. It took a little bit of an army to get me through the day, but I just couldn't record a reflection from the week because I was frustrated and confused, and we're going to get into why. But what was really beautiful was how I woke up the next day. The next morning, I reach over, grab my phone, checking my messages, posting links to the new episodes, which I'm probably driving my friends crazy over. And I see a private message from a fellow podcaster, a friend, whose name is Jamie J. He does all sorts of things online, but one of the things he does is he's one of the podcast professors. So if you go to podcastprofessor.com, you'll see him, and they have a podcast, and they're amazing. So I had reached out to him and asked, because this had to do with what I was struggling with during the week, I had asked him if there happened to be a video somewhere that could explain podcasting to all of my friends and family, because so many people don't know what podcasting is. It's new. It's on the rise. This is where you can listen to any type of talk radio that you choose to listen to based on a topic you would like to hear at times that work for you. You can listen to half of the episode now. You can listen to all of it later. You can listen to all of your episodes on the weekend. You can listen in the car when you're driving to work. You can listen when you're exercising. I put on Bluetooth headphones. I listen when I'm doing laundry, when I'm doing dishes, cooking dinner. You can put in your headphones and listen at the grocery store as you're shopping, in the mall. It doesn't matter. But so many people do not know what podcasting is. So I asked Jamie, is there a video anywhere that not only explains podcasting, but that shows people how to access it? Because most iPhone users don't realize that they have this little purple icon on their iPhone that connects them to free podcasts, to thousands of free podcast channels. So you just click on that purple icon, click on the magnifying glass, and put in keywords, and all different topics come up. Now, of course, you have to weed through, and finding podcasts that work for you, I think, took me the most time when I first started doing this. But once you get the channels you like, you get the channels you like. Now, if you click on the featured icon, then it's going to take you to the new and noteworthy section. And that's where all the podcasters strive to be because you get great visibility. Matter of fact, that's what happened when Jamie messaged me that morning, it said, here is a picture you can use for the blog you're going to write about me from my episode. And the video that you asked me about should be ready by Friday, which I was like, yes, they're going to make a video. Podcast professors rule. So they're going to make a video. And I don't know if that's Jamie or podcast professors as a group, but it's awesome and they are awesome. And then he said, and congratulations on your new and noteworthy position. I, of course, responded in all capital letters, I'm on new and noteworthy. Totally psyched, totally ecstatic. And my mood from the day before completely changed. My energy completely shifted. Now, it shifted for some reasons more obvious than other. If you were new and noteworthy and you get visibility, this could mean longevity in your field because now you have more listeners and hopefully this will get you sponsors. And all of that is amazing. And everybody wants a sustainable career in something they love. But it also did something else for me. It gave me some validation. You know, it validated for now, at least for today, that I am enough, that all my efforts are enough, and that my intentions are enough, and that my message is enough. This made me think of other times in my life where I really tried to accomplish something, but then I allowed myself to get so down. And I could think of a couple opportunities where this occurred. One was when I was studying to take the praxis exam for the county college. Now, I was 30 years old. I had no idea if I was college material, and I knew there was no way I was going to pass the math portion of the placement exam. So I got the remedial book and I taught myself algebra one and enough of two to pass the exam. It took me 2.5 weeks. It took 8 to 11 hours almost every single day except for one. And by the end of that, where I had just worked myself to that degree, I felt the same way I felt 2 days ago, which was defeated. Now, how can I feel defeated? It's only been 1 week. And in the end, a couple weeks later, I found out that I did pass the math portion of the praxis. This happened to me again as a new teacher. I was a new teacher and it was my first year and I worked so hard. Listen, teachers, specifically high school English, those teachers, you can't imagine unless you've done it, the amount of time, effort, energy, exhaustion that is involved. It's awesome, but it's work. And so my first year, I put so much into it. And usually new teachers are observed 3 times. Well, my supervisor came in on a Friday and observed me for a 4th time. That usually only happens if you're not doing something right. So I came home, immediately proceeded to drink a bottle of wine and eat an entire bag of Cheetos. I cried, literally cried the entire weekend. I felt what I'm doing is not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. And guess what? Monday, she calls me into her office and asks me if I would want to teach the honors class for next year. Are you serious? I know that I've learned something about myself during this last week and during this process, and I hope that you can take something away from what I experienced as well. Don't be so quick to judge yourself. I'm so hard on myself. And I really think I was judging myself more because I was putting myself out there to be judged by others. And I knew I was being compared to others. So I need to admit 2 things to you. The first thing that I need to admit that I was weepy and I was down and I was feeling like others had knowledge and skills and connections that I don't have. Connections I'd never be able to reach. Do you ever look at situations and people and say, oh, you know, they know somebody. You have to know somebody to get in. You have to have the right mentor. You have to be around the right people. You have to have the right path to success. If I knew somebody who worked here, then maybe I could get a job there. I was feeling a little of that. I was guilty of that 2 days ago. What a difference a day makes, though. And listeners, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Your life can change in any direction in 1 split second. This is a philosophy I've always believed. I mean, if you scratch off a lottery ticket, or God forbid, you get into a car accident today, right? Instantly, your life is forever changed. I always feel it's my obligation to share this one statement that I heard and I'll never forget. So humor me and let me share this with you now. This is something when teaching literature to high school students and we got to talk about all sorts of great life issues, I always brought this up once a year. And that is this: suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Let me say that again. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I bring that up here only to emphasize how your life can change in a split moment. I went from feeling very down, and obviously not as serious as suicide, but it's indicative of the idea that no matter how low you are one moment, you could be equally as high the next. And I proved to myself one more time that if I truly give something everything I have, it's enough. So think about what you want to do and how you want to improve your life or enhance your life or change it. Have you given it sincere effort? And if not, why? And how's that working for you? Okay, so the first thing I had to admit to you is that I had a bad attitude. I was filling myself with defeatist thoughts. Now, poor John, as they call my husband, because he is this patient soul from Iowa, and I am intense and impatient from New Jersey. He berated me, of course, and said, "It's only a week. What can you expect in a week?" And he kept pushing through. So I kept pushing through. And then I woke up the next morning, and it was a much better celebration moment. I also turned to my other family and a few friends. So my advice to you here: if you want to try something new and you need a little encouragement, turn to people who genuinely know you and will support you. Don't turn to the people who you know are going to dissuade you. Turn to those who believe you can do it or want it for you. So here's the second thing I need to admit. What was truly causing my defeatist attitude? What was it that I was so down about? Well, the truth of the matter is this. I have hundreds of friends on Facebook, and I know the majority of those people truly actually support our endeavor here and what we're doing. But I couldn't understand why I didn't see them leaving reviews for our show on iTunes, right? Because I know that they want us to do well, and I'm posting in order for us to do well. We need you to listen to the show. We need you to write a review, and then after your review, hit the subscribe button. That's all I wanted. If you really like this, if you really dig what we're doing, please do that for me. And the weirdest thing was, I didn't see any of my friends from my Facebook page leaving reviews. And my personal goal with that was to only get 4 people. If I could get 4 people from my Facebook page to leave reviews, I would have considered that a great success. So the frustration that was building for me was more, how can I communicate better? Because I know they want what's great. And I internalized this and I brought myself down with it. I have to say, though, on that last day when I was at my lowest, something amazing did happen. I saw 2 reviews from former students. So to Alexis and Olivia, if you happen to be listening, thank you for thinking of me and thank you for taking the time to leave a review. Seeing your names was a very bright spot in my toughest day so far, and it gave me the biggest smile. And listeners, what can you take away from this admission of mine? Try not to let your inner critic wreak havoc in your mind. Don't make assumptions or interpretations, and keep all of your limiting beliefs at bay the best you can. These concepts now should start to become familiar to you. I spoke about them last Friday, and I discussed them in detail, actually, on the blog that features Kara Licht. I'm pretty proud of my blogs. I hope you guys have been checking them out. You just go to the blog tab right on our website, www.motivatemepodcast.com. Okay, so I'd like to take this time now and pose a listener question. It's an excellent question. And before we get started here, I want to tell you that as a motivational coach, it's my job to extract from clients answers and plans that best suit them. So one person's solution is going to be extremely different from another's. But Mr. G's question is this: what is the difference between being negative and saying to yourself, can't do that, versus being realistic and saying to yourself, I shouldn't do that? Now, as a coach who coaches the energy level surrounding clients and their situations, which I will be discussing in much detail as this podcast continues, I would have to acknowledge that both the statements, I can't do that and I shouldn't do that, represent the same level of energy. There are many models and philosophies regarding levels of energy, and the one that I follow was created by Dr. Bruce D. Schneider, and you can learn more about that actually in his fictional book, Core Energy Leadership. There's a link to that in the show notes. The inner dialogue, though, that this listener creates represents victim energy. This is level one on a scale of 1 to 7. This is a very common level of energy, and many people reside between this level one victim energy and level two energy, which is conflict energy. But victim energy is controlled by your self-doubts, your worry, your fear, your guilt, and embarrassment. All words you heard a little earlier in this podcast when I was talking about my defeatist attitude in struggling with my first week doing this show. So to those of you who struggle with this same question, though, that Mr. G asked, I suggest exploring the four energy blocks. The first one is your inner critic, which we can see here. I can't do it, or I shouldn't do it. Where do these ideas stem from? That's what you need to ask yourself. The second stumbling block is, what assumptions are you making? Are you basing your future success on your past attempts? And if so, why? Why are you doing that? What are you getting out of playing the victim? The third is, what interpretations are you making? What stories are you creating in your head about achieving success? Are they based on fact? Are they based on what you believe others think? And finally, what limiting beliefs are coming into play? This is number four, your limiting beliefs. Are you telling yourself that you're too old or out of shape, that you're not talented enough or smart enough? How are you limiting your own progress? And this is usually based on what people have told you you are. Who people have told you you are. So here's my suggestion. I suggest, Mr. G, that you write the answers to these questions down. I suggest that you write about a time that you achieved something you were proud of. Then I suggest envisioning what success would look like for you and writing down how that would make you feel. And you know me, envision, explore, and execute. Make it happen. What could you achieve if fear was irrelevant? So listeners, if you have a question you would like answered on the show, you can email me at lynette@motivatemepodcast.com. If you're thinking it, others are too. I just want to thank everybody for helping me to achieve my new and noteworthy status. I don't know how long I'll stay there. It could be just for today, but I did do it, and I didn't do it without you. So listeners, get on this bus. We can help you achieve something too. We're going to be here for you. Your go-do for today, everybody, is to reach out to me at either lynette@motivatemepodcast.com or on our community Facebook page, Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. Ciao for now, beautiful people of America and beyond.